T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Hey, Dan. Hi, Connor.
The Bernstein and McKnight Show.
What's up, guys?
If you look at some numbers in and around, I am less concerned by the day, even considering that they haven't done very well over the last couple of starts. I am less concerned about the starting rotation than I really ever was.
Okay.
As a long-term issue for this team. They are what they are. They, I think, will, assuming, you know, they stay healthy, obviously, they will rebound to be a pretty decent starting five. And the issue here is in the bullpen.
Intelligent, in-depth sports talk for your workday.
What they are is they're out there, they're talking, they're yapping, and they're trying their best.
Bernstein and McKnight, middays on The Score.
You sure about that?
I put it out there, Dan. Don't you give me those eyes.
You sure about that?
I told you what's up. Everything's going to be okay with those first five. Probably.
Bernstein and McKnight broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studios, home of the Tucson and Santa Fe Sport. Mike Florio at 10, midday midway at 10:40. And then Sahadev Sharma's got some outstanding Cubs information for us. We added him at 11. We got a shot at $1,000 cash when I give you the text keyword. And we're going to give away a foursome of golf, because eventually the storms are going to stop and you're going to be able to get out and golf. And if you are listening, you might be able to do it for free with three of your friends at Grand Geneva Resort and Spa in Lake Geneva. It's the Brute or the Highlands Championship courses. Visit GrandGenevaGolf.com. 312-644-6767. That's the number at WSCR, The Score. You email us at BernsteinandMcKnight@670thescore.com. That's where you listen to us live. We stream at 670thescore.com. You can send a text or a sext to 67011. When you do, we send a reply. Message and data rates may apply. Twitter's at Bernstein_MCK. He's at C1 McKnight. I am at Dan_Bernstein. Download the radio.com app.
Lucas Giolito.
Yeah, man. Wow.
Telling you.
That way you can stream The Score on your mobile devices, interact with the show and the station on Facebook by liking the 670 The Score page. The video feed is here. These cameras, Brian Gertz directs that feed at watch670thescore.com and Facebook Live. Producers are Jay Zawoski, Christopher Dickens, and the Mexicutioner doing what he does in the back. He is Ray Diaz. Yeah, this the Astros are exposing the Cubs' weaknesses in a way that is a little frightening, to sort of peer into the abyss.
It's a little like a funhouse mirror. You know, I mean, you know, you're a good ball club, the Cubs, and they've got a decent offense. And you heard Joe on with Lawrence yesterday. Good chat the two of them had. And, you know, he's pretty convinced that they're not that far away from the Astros, and the Astros aren't that far away from them. I think that's probably true. But the ways in which they're different, you know, how that funhouse mirror kind of distorts the middle, that kind of important part. The important part is velocity. And you can get it done. You can be a good team, and you can get your strikeouts, and you can get your wins without throwing 98 across the board. It's just a little harder to do. And when you throw it up against a team that does throw it up at 98, it stands out pretty clearly that they don't do that. And well, the Houston Astros do.
When you had Cole and Cole, you had Garrett Cole and Cole Hamels, and one guy's just throwing salad around the edges of the zone, and the other guy's pumping a fastball and a hard slider up there, like everybody else around the league, it's stark. You see it. Not to mention the issues with the baseball. It is even more important to miss bats, because anything barreled up is flying out of the park. Sometimes things not barreled up are flying out of the park.
Yeah.
And John Lester is continuing to struggle, as he did throughout the second half of last year.
Why do we get to that after the update? Joe Maddon and John Lester both have commented on how Lester is pitching, thought it was of import, especially after last night's Cubs loss to the Astros.
I think primarily, it's a very vague description, but the finish on his pitches. And if you look at the gun readings, they're normally pretty much the same, you know, velocity, stuff on the fastball and the cutter and the curveball, but finish where the ball just has this little jump at home plate, and where the cut is really making that sharp right turn right at home plate. You're just not seeing it. Everything looks a little bit lazy when it gets to the plate, and that's just something that he's feeling. delivery-wise, and I agree with him. I understand it.
I don't really know. I mean, the results are the results, so you can't really run away from those. I feel like stuff was there. But like I said, results are results, so you can't really you can say you had good stuff and made good pitches. It doesn't really matter at the end of the day. It's still, you know, it is what it is.
Cubs skipper Joe Maddon on with Lawrence Holmes yesterday. John Lester after the game last night. Another flaccid performance from the leader of the Cubs starting rotation. Here's what's interesting in today's day and age, and I'm sure your mind is going there similarly.
Mm-hmm.
Joe Maddon is doing the old school observational anecdotal baseball talk. What he sees from his perch. He's talking about that late life. When he says lazy, he doesn't mean John's lazy.
No.
He means that the pitches don't have that little snap at the end, the difference that means barreled or not barreled.
It's almost like the baseball's being lazy. Like it's the baseball's it's not working as hard for
right.
John as it used
so
to.
So immediately what we think now in baseball is when the cameras are on him, and it's not in-game, but when that little red Rapsodo box mm-hmm. or that blue Edgertronic camera is there, we can get to the why. We can get to the way the ball is literally spinning out of his hand, measuring the spin rate, measuring drop, measuring movement, and determining, is it arm slot? Very often it's arm slot.
Sometimes
it's hand position. But this, see, now, fix it. Fix it. I don't need the old school. Well, I'm just not feeling it out there. It's all about feel to me. This is what Tommy Hotovy's paid to do.
Right.
This is what this staff, the pitching infrastructure, is paid to do. Find out why. If Joe's right, find out why he's right.
If we want to do the anecdotal thing, and I'd like to for a moment, I'll tell you this much. Watching John pitch last night, it didn't look like it didn't look as bad as his last start. His stuff. Just talking about his stuff. It just kind of looked like he was wrestling a bear. You know, that he had something to deal with, and you can wrestle a bear and win if you've done it before. You kind of know some tricks, you know, a few things the bear doesn't like. You got to bring in enough peanut butter, and maybe you can subdue the bear for a little bit. But more times than not, bear's going to win that thing. It's a bad matchup. And I thought the Astros were just – I don't think John made as many pitches as he'd have liked to have made. And I mean that from a very basic standpoint. He's trying to fade that, especially to right-handers. He's trying to fade that cutter over the outer third and get that back across. Remember how well he was pitching in like 5-6 straight starts? His first four at Wrigley Field were a .46 ERA. It was just uncanny stuff.
Also in crappy weather and wind blowing in and the park playing large, that helps some of these guys who have to pitch to contact. Not that building and not this baseball.
No, pitching to contact in that ballpark is a tall order. And when he doesn't have that particular cutter, it gets even worse, and the bear won. But I can see how he's kind of leveraging things just a little bit, maybe against the bear, and then setting himself up for the judo flip that may get him back to it.
It just never came.
But no, not in this one. And that's what we've been talking about with John Lester really since, remember the 8 starts after last year's All-Star break, where it was an 8 ERA? It was a long time for John Lester to fix himself. And John went to Joe Maddon and asked Joe, like, listen, hey, you got anything? Because I'd love to hear it. So the question then becomes, how long does it take John Lester to fix himself at this point in his career, throwing what he's throwing? And that question may not be changed any by the presence of Rapsodo or Edgertronic or whatever, because even though you can observe it, John's still got to do his part in fixing the mechanics to it. Any pitcher would. You can monitor and observe and like see like, this arm angle isn't right or this hand placement isn't good or what have you. He's got to get to that as well.
Sure, like any recreational golfer can take a golf lesson and the golf pro can tell you, your right arm's wrong, your wrists are breaking too early.
And then the thing that you do.
But then he's like, okay, now what?
And maybe you go in there and you have a good session. That's the other part of the Rapsodo, the Edgertronic, that whole thing. It's like dealing with Darvish's bullpens. It all looks great there. Or you go to the golf pro and all of a sudden you're not slicing the thing like a banana off into the woods. And you're like, oh, well, This isn't helping. I need to show you the bad game. I'm just showing you the good game, right? I can't believe I've hit three in a row like this. I never do that. And then you've wasted your $120
right.
bucks.
And the moment I get out of here, I'm going to revert.
The
right?
moment you throw it down in the tee box, you're throwing it into the woods.
This segment's brought to you by Arlington International Racecourse. They're racing this weekend at beautiful Arlington International Racecourse. First race Friday is 3:15. Spend Saturday watching and wagering. Sunday, experience breakfast at Arlington. Then celebrate Chicago's Big Ten team as Arlington celebrates Northwestern University. Details on these and all events at arlingtonpark.com. There's another aspect to the Cubs issues here, and I mentioned there's a lot going on. You've got really strong opponent, albeit not at the peak of their powers personnel-wise. You have juiced baseball slipping through the air at an unprecedented rate. You've got tiny little ballpark.
Very small ballpark.
Very, very small park with no real place to be safe. It's like on a golf course. Again, there's no place to miss because the ball gets out anywhere, any handedness, any field, that ball is going to fly. And you have balls finding holes in the defense, and you're pitching to contact. So when we come back, let's look at that piece of this little mini crisis mm-hmm. here, of the Cubs run prevention mini crisis, how the defense factors in and what Joe Maddon can do.
We'll get to that. We've also got Mike Florio coming up. We'll talk NFL with him at 10 o'clock. It's Bernstein and McKnight, 670 The Score.
Yeah, it's a little scary if you think about it that way. Yeah, they're great players weren't here.
That Altuve guy.
Yeah, they kind of still
Springer.
Yeah,
that guy. Correa. Yeah, that other guy.
Yeah, but when you look at the equation for run prevention, it is pitching, it's defense, which means the lineups matter, the positioning matters, the scouting matters, all of it. You know, putting it all together mm-hmm. in a way that it's supposed to work. And Joe Sheehan was on with us yesterday.
Right.
Talking about how that works on the Cubs maybe differently from some other teams.
This is going to be a pretty good offensive team that can trade offense for defense to protect a pitching staff and in particular rotation that isn't a high strikeout staff in today's era. So I think, Connor, it can be a good defensive team. It can be a bad defensive team. And every day when Joe fills out the lineup, whether he recognizes it or not, he's making the decision, are we going to be a good defensive team today or a bad defensive team?
So mm-hmm. when Sheehan's talking about trade offense for defense, he's talking about trades at the deadline. He's not talking about flipping an infielder for an outfielder that's maybe got a better defensive. Could happen that way. Could work out that Theo and Jed are willing to do something like that down the line. He's talking about the trades within the roster that happen. Maybe Bryant going out to one of the outfield spots instead of a more competent outfielder is your trade there to keep his bat in the lineup. Maybe Ben Zobrist, when Ben Zobrist was playing in a spot here or there, was taking a little defense away, but granted he hadn't produced the way that they'd hoped Ben Zobrist would produce in the first 3-5 weeks of the season, but you're looking for a better leadoff-y type at bat as opposed to some of the defense he can give you
right.
or not give you.
Is Bodhi playing third? You have Descalso's arm issues at second. You have Wilson Contreras with some of his issues this year defensively.
Yeah, let's look at Daniel Descalso a little bit. Because remember, he was giving you some real professional and clutch at-bats in the first, 2.5 weeks of the season? And he has cratered. I mean, it's been fast and it's been ugly. I know that every time you and I watch him throw over to first base, you could time it with a sundial. It
takes a while.
And
yeah.
You just kind of watch that, and then he throws, and then it takes an hour and a half. And it's a wet noodle out there. But that hasn't – I don't think that's cost the Cubs probably not more than one or two plays.
No, not as much as like Daniel Murphy's lack of range.
Complete
– where he can't move.
Inability to go left or right. No, I don't think so. But what Joe Maddon told Gordon Whitmire of the Sun-Times is this. He was asked if the Cubs push through the toughest part of their schedule to date without Ben Zobrist, versatile, significant clubhouse voice, whether they're also forced to consider the possibility of playing the rest of the season without him. I have to think that way.
Yes.
Absolutely, Maddon said. Exactly 3 weeks after Zobrist took leave to tend to family issues. I hope that's not the case. He's at a point now where if he chooses to come back, it's going to take him a while to get back up to speed, too. We have to be mentally prepared that we will not have him. So that's a lineup, just dealing with the lineup, the offensive lineup there, that now pushes Kyle Schwarber into the leadoff spot.
Okay.
That now has Kyle Schwarber playing a little bit. No, I don't necessarily either, but if he's in the lineup, that means he's in defensively, and that means you're dealing with that in left field. It's a lot better than I thought Kyle Schwarber would ever be in left, but that also means that there are decisions down the line defensively that you've got to make. One of them being, for instance, I mean, you can draw, it's not exactly a straight line, but you can draw a line between Ben Zobrist being unavailable for however long it's going to be, straight to Wilson Contreras not being able to get into the outfield, which is something that I think the Cubs would be interested in pursuing. I'm certainly interested in seeing it, because that pitching staff, when it's even when it's on, needs a couple extra inches on either side of the plate, and Caratini's better at doing that than Contreras.
Well, let's just call it what it is. Right now, off the top of my head, this Chicago Cubs roster's idealized defensive lineup, and I'm not consulting metrics, I'm just going to go with what I think
sure.
I know,
shoot from
what
the
I
hip.
Think I understand. Across the infield, it's going to be Bryant, and then you can decide between Baez, Russell, or Russell, Baez.
Baez.
And I don't think there's a right or wrong answer based on what we know about Addison Russell's shortstop defense and what he does to make some spectacular things look routine as much as Javier Baez can make things look spectacular. Rizzo is at first.
Yeah.
Your outfield is, well, Contreras, Almora, Hayward, and Caratini's catching.
I think that's probably your best.
Because left field doesn't matter as much. You probably could find a better left fielder, but you need Contreras' bat in the lineup somewhere, and he can play a responsible enough left field.
I think you could probably say, although I'm putting a lot more emphasis on Bodie's night last night with the whole bunch of extra bases. I think he had 10 bases total.
Been weird in the field.
He has been weird in the field. I just think at second base. Listen, if Dan Uggla can play second base in the National League for the better part of a decade.
Stop referencing Dan Uggla.
Just saying, he was so
bad. God, we need
bad.
A rule of it. It's like Godwin's
he was so
law.
Bad. He was so bad that if he can manage to be there for 10 years at second base, I'm fine having right. David Bodie there and hoping for the okay. offense to come around.
In Oak Park, this is Les. He's on the score. Hi, Les.
Hi, guys. Good morning. You were talking about the pitches, the Cubs pitchers. It's the result of the density, and you'd appreciate this, Dan, I think, Connor. It's the result of the air being less dense when it's hot and humid. Obviously, a batted ball will go further because there's less resistance, but
farther.
People don't appreciate what effect it has on a pitched ball. The elevated threads don't have as much force against them. So the curve, the slurve, the slider, the moving ball just doesn't move, slurve, curve, slide as much. But, and for pitchers,
wait,
for example,
stop for a second. Even if we assume what you're saying is true for the purposes of this discussion, the weather's been freezing.
Well, at the beginning of the season, yeah, but now in Houston, it's warming up. It's warming up, and the point is the air is humid. When there's a lot of water in the air, the density goes down.
Didn't they have a dome on?
Yeah, it's climate controlled.
Well, okay, let's do this. Let's just table that observation for when it gets warmer. Because it is a fact of Newton's laws, the result of Newton's laws.
Well, but it's not. The fact is we know from studies this year the ball is different, and we know how hard the Cubs pitchers throw, which is not very. I mean, the primary things going on here are juiced ball and lack of velocity.
Well, that hasn't changed in the last month.
So you're saying it's going to get worse as the summer goes on? The ball will jump more and that
the ball humidity content of the air increases, the density of the air decreases, so there's less force against the raised threads, and so the balls don't move as much.
Well, that's still overcome by the fact that the ball, the drag coefficient on the ball is the lowest it's ever been. The ball is slippery through the air regardless of any of that.
Well, as long as the threads are elevated, you can't get around from Newton's laws. You know, they can change the manufacturer of the ball, but given that the ball remains the same throughout the rest of the season, when it gets warmer and there's more moisture in the air because the molecular weight of water vapor is less than
again,
of nitrogen and oxygen.
But this is not necessarily, I mean, even if that's true, it's still not particularly applicable more to the Cubs than other teams.
Well, it's applicable to all teams.
Okay, then I'm not quite sure what the point is.
Appreciate you, Les. I guess the one thing in there that I can pick out is that it is not a given that the baseball stays the same throughout the rest
Correct.
Of the season. That's the thing we've learned, is that it's entirely possible that, I don't want to get too far into the weeds here, but it's entirely possible that the baseball has changed once already this season. I mean, given the results and given the home runs and fly ball rates that we've seen and the exit, I mean, we may have played with two different types of baseball already this year.
And the next shipment could be different. We know that too. And the fact is, what you're saying about sliders moving through the air, all I know is there are more sliders moving through the air than ever. We're going to get to that because the numbers.
Oh, my word.
The actual numbers, the amount of sliders being thrown is insane. It's insane.
When people tell you, and JD does a great job talking about this, Stone does too on both broadcasts. God, we got two pretty decent television broadcasts, radio too in this town. But you've got more breaking balls being thrown in more counts. So the idea of sitting, although Eloy Jimenez did get a fastball and a fastball count yesterday, the idea of sitting fastball like 2-0, it's not common as often as it used to come around. You're going to see something bendy and twisty and designed to get your barrel off the baseball.
We're going to get our weekly check-in with the NFL and all that's going on. Mike Florio will join us next. Keep it here on Bernstein and McKnight. You have the score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.